Good morning.
And welcome to St. Luke's here this morning. This is Father's Day, so congratulations to all of you who are fathers or who have fathers. Because truly, you know, all of us, all of them ought to be celebrated in this. We are going to observe the day with root beer floats. We said we are going to do this outside, and that was before the temperature went from about 89 to about 53 this morning. There is this famous sentence, tell God your plans, and she is going to laugh. And so that's what we got this morning. So I think the root beer floats have been moved to the inside at this point. Last week you may remember that Loretta was talking about that paper that I had put out to the council. The council looked at it Sunday afternoon and then urged it to be sent out to the whole congregation. I trust you got it. If there's any questions or so that I can answer, I will do so after this worship service and the root beer floats. First party, then work. I'm really pretty adamant about that sequence of things. So we'll do that, and I'll suspend for this morning. The adult forum will catch back up next week, but just for today, we'll go ahead so that you have the same opportunity that the council had last week to figure out what are we talking about in terms of here are the options that I believe this congregation has. In the immediate and further future. Let's see, a second adult forum has been requested tomorrow on Mondays at noon, doing the same that we have been doing on Sundays after worship, namely talking about women, faith, and justice. That is the ELCA paper. There were a couple of people who couldn't do it Sunday morning. They said, let's brown bag at noon and on Mondays. So that's going to happen starting tomorrow. Are there any other announcements for the good of the body? Yes, clearly there are.
I see we're down one key for the food pantry. So if everyone could just check their consoles or their jackets and see if they... Anyone that's worked at the food pantry?
Food pantry. We have just found the second one. All right, and whoever's phone this is, you might need to answer it because you never know, you're in church, it might be God. Let's see, anything else? And let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Will you please rise? Abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you.
Show us your mercy, O God.
Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven, be at peace, and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Into yourself and nurture our growth that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Do we have a reader? We do not have a reader. Would someone like to read? If not, I will.
Thanks. First reading, Ezekiel 17:22-24. Is that the correct one? Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 92, 1-4, 12-15 responsibly today. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High.
To herald your love in the morning, and your faithfulness at night.
On the psaltery and on the lyre, and the melody of the harp.
For you have made me glad by your acts, O Lord, and I shout for joy because of the works of your hands.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and shall spread abroad like a cedar of Lebanon.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be green and succulent.
That they may show how upright the Lord is, my rock in whom there is no injustice.
Second reading, 2 Corinthians 5:6-17. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can be compared the kingdom of God? Or what parable will be used for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. See, do we have any children who want to come forward?
Okay.
We'll go for that. All right. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good. All right, I brought you something. It's really, really, really tiny. All right, let's see if we can do this. How about, there are four of you. How about each one of you picks up one of these? Nearly, but don't lose it. Okay? It's a mustard seed. You want the black one? There is one more. And there is one more for you. Okay. Now, this is not a big thing. We can agree on that, right? It's very tiny. And Jesus says that sometimes when we are doing things in the name of God, that something as small as this little mustard seed can become something really big that we call the reign or the kingdom of God, which is a place where there is justice and there people love each other, and it's a great place to be. And he says to us that starting out with something as little as a mustard seed, or as little as a smile to someone else, or as little as giving or sharing something with your sister, with your brother, with your friend, or with your mom, or with your dad, those are the starts of something that big that can make the entire reign of God grow among us. You lost it? You lost yours? It's okay. Because here is the other miracle. I'm always hoping that someone is losing it, so thank you. You are doing me a great favor. Because now it grows somewhere else. It doesn't grow in your hand anymore. You just gave it away. And there is more. Look at this. I have this whole thing. There is more of this, and there is always more of God's love for us to use in the world for good things to happen. So, let's see. Are you up for a real challenge? You are not? You two are? Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a handful of mustard seeds. And I'm going to let you distribute it and let everyone take one in this congregation. Yeah, good? You want to do it too? How about you two? You will too? Come on up. All right. We are making this happen. So let me give you. There you go. There you go. So one of you start from the front, one of you start from the back, one of you start on the left, one of you start on the right. And so, dear adults among... You want some more? Dear adults among us, don't lose them. These are very important seeds. Jesus talks about them. All right. They're really small. I don't think people ever realize how tiny they are. Unless you're, of course, a cook and you make, you know, lots of meals with those. But they are really so tiny and small. When Jesus talks about them, it's pretty amazing. All right, and please, dear adults, only pick up one. Let's see. Has everyone had one? Hasn't been back there. Has been everywhere else? Oh, okay. Do we still have someone who has some mustard seeds in their hand? We have one row back there that hasn't gotten any yet. Ah. All right. Now, for those of you who were distributing them, if you have any of those left, don't worry about it. After worship, go outside, throw it out, see what's going to happen. It might actually sprout and grow. It would be really fun to see later on this summer, or perhaps might be, I don't know how they do this at whatever the spice company is. They might be toasted, so then they are probably really toast and not going to sprout, but you know, they might. We never know. And if they don't, you want to give them back? We can do that too. All right. Okay, and now they stick to your hands, right? Mm-hmm. You want to give me yours as well? Okay. Very good. You have some leftovers? Okay, want to give them back?
I got one more.
You've got one more. Okay, put it in there.
I don't.
You can't find it.
Yes.
Okay, that's okay.
My mom can.
All right. So let's make sure that the janitor isn't going to get a heart attack and save them right here. After this, we can make this. There we go.
Pastor Stephanie, we got a problem.
Some people
are eating them. What do you do with them?
The kingdom of God is sprouting right inside of them.
Very good.
I mean, how much better could it get, truly, for the life of the world? All right. Well, thank you to the kiddos for helping out. I appreciate it. I hope you had some fun. Did you?
When I urinated, I think I even did the same thing.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So until about a couple of days ago, I would have said that summer has come to Johnson County. And so it seems that God has decided it is time for some gardening advice. Because there is a kingdom to grow, and God says, get your hat, get your sunglasses, scatter some seed, and then pour yourself a glass of iced tea, rest in the hammock, listen to the birds sing, and watch the clouds go by. Take a nap, wake up, repeat, all while the kingdom is growing all around you. Now, someone with some gardening experience might say, wait, this is not how it works. Don't you know that you have to build raised beds first? Then you have to till the soil and plant the seedling. Don't you know that you have to water and to weed, to fertilize and to cover them from frostbite, and to trim and to prune? You can't just go to sleep and think it all takes care of itself. Really, God says? Watch me. So we are back into Jesus' kingdom stories. Jesus' parables of the kingdom. Miraculous growth, miraculous seeds, kingdom stories of a God who makes things possible on an automatic earth that waters and warms the earth and lets the sun shine so the plants can grow. Take a deep breath and relax, Jesus seems to be saying. Things will happen even without your meticulous attention to detail. Now, you have probably met me for long enough now, known me for long enough now, that you know that this is not how I would operate. I would make sure that this seed would fall into perfectly prepared ground. I would have read Burpee's seed catalog and only planted according to region. I would have checked water and soil conditions. I would have made sure each and every seedling knew it had a job to do. And I would check on it daily to make sure it did its homework. It's just that God doesn't seem to ask us to work that way. Now, for most of my life, and perhaps for yours too, it's been tradition for preachers and Sunday school teachers to take the parables of Jesus and assign personalities to the characters of the story. That God was a landowner, say. God was a judge. God was the sower. God was the father of two sons. And that we were the day laborers, the petitioners, the soil, the sons. Some years ago, I heard a sermon where all of that was reversed. God was not the landowner anymore, but had become one of the day laborers. God was not the judge anymore, but the widow who again and again pleaded her cause for justice to a callous and uncaring judge, which actually was us, humanity. God was not the sower anymore, but God was the seed, which we are simply to spread generously and liberally around in the world. I can tell you it comes as a bit of a jolt when you have to reverse all your long-held concepts and think of yourself as the sowers and of God as the seed. Because really, you do know what that means, don't you? That our responsibility is not the growth, but the sowing. That our responsibility is not the condition of us as the soil, whether we are providing fertile or rocky ground, whether we as the soil are retaining too much water or too much sun for the seed to sprout and grow. But all we need to be concerned with is whether we are throwing this God seed all around us, in who we are and in what we do, and then leave it to God to make it sprout and grow to previously unimagined dimensions on the earth. You think that's missing the point? Then let me tell you one of my own stories rather than Jesus' parable, but one that I think goes just perfectly with this one. Some years ago, the bishop's office sent me to a small congregation in suburban Denver. Like St. Luke's here in Buffalo, it was an Augustana church plant, which meant it was built smack dab in the neighborhood. In fact, in contrast to this building, which you can easily identify as a church, there you had to look twice and even three times to see that, in fact, it was a church. It didn't have a steeple, it didn't have a bell tower, and its highest elevation of the sanctuary was no higher than the 1.5-story split levels of the neighborhood. From its heyday in the 50s and 60s, when Sunday school had to be taught in surrounding homes because the Sunday school rooms and fellowship hall couldn't fit all the students, the congregation had by now changed into a comfortable place of worship for about 50 to 60 people on a Sunday, with a distinct prevalence for retirees. They were baffled by what had happened to their church over the last 50 years, and why their children, so carefully and lovingly raised in this congregation, had long gone their own ways. Well, to make a long story short, the then bishop let me know through the grapevine that he would not be surprised if the congregation would close sooner or later. But when I talked to the people there, asked them about their hopes and their dreams for the congregation, it became clear that they were not looking for closure. They were looking for ministry. If this church closed today, one of the parishioners told me, I doubt anyone in the neighborhood would really notice. But as far as I'm concerned, when we have to close, I want us to be missed. I want to go out with a bang. I want this church to have made a difference. And I want to have memories of ministry now, not just of 50 years ago. And so we looked for ministry projects. Every Sunday I would throw out another bait, some more seed. Food Bank of the Rockies. Nah, too large, too impersonal. Contacts not long enough. Hospital volunteer. The Lutheran hospital was only a couple of blocks away. Nah, contacts too fleeting. Not enough impact on the life. Okay. Overnight volunteer with Growing Home, a 9-week program that helps families from homelessness into a stable home. All right, yeah, but again, not really long enough contact to really make a difference. And then we hit pay dirt. The elementary school across the street was looking for a few grandparents to help in the library, assist one-on-one with students in reading and math problems, not in an after-school program, but in the school building and during the school day itself. And then another ministry came along, this one even more daring, exactly at the same time. The 4 memory care homes that were immediately adjacent to the church asked if we would come each Monday morning to sing some songs, tell stories, and celebrate communion with them. Initially, we looked at this sudden abundance and said, can we really do all of this? But every week, those retired folks found ways to toss this God seed around, not just to the ones who are Lutherans, not just to the ones who appreciated it, not just to the folks in the congregation, but truly to people outside in the world, with the children, with very forgetful elderly. And now, long after I left there, now that the time has finally come for closure of this congregation, here's the most amazing part. The folks who have been most involved in these ministries are the ones who are least disturbed by their congregation's ending. They might have to find another place for worship, but they know that they use their time well. They had sown the God seed in the community. They had become friends with each other in the process, and also with the people that they saw each week. They knew that they would continue their ministry no matter in which church they would be worshiping on Sunday mornings. They didn't care much if the God seed that they had scattered had taken root or not. They didn't even care much how they would be remembered, or if they would be remembered at all. They just followed the idea of the parable to sow the seed. They'd scattered God's seed on the ground. They had even flung some up in the air. Curious were wind and birds and the elements might take it and make it grow there. And when I think of that place, I do have to say, somewhere in the midst of it, I have to believe that God is smiling at this whole effort and giving growth that we might never know that came about simply by throwing out the God seed. Amen.